and welcome. This is our Wednesday evening roundtable discussion. I'm here with Pastor Sam and myself. The other pastors are on their
vacations. Sam's actually working.
And working and doing their thing, trying to support. And we got to do those things. But we are here tonight, and we want to kind of basically elaborate on what has been being said in the last couple of weeks. We feel that God is really opening his heart, and I guess you would say the motto is come as you are, and to really put down the old traditions and the mindsets of, and I don't want to say religion, but I want to just say traditions, because we put ourselves in religion based on growing up. We put ourselves in religion of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. We were instructed by our parents, our guardians, amen? And
school.
They were taught a certain way. And then those parents were instructed in a certain way. And these traditions and patterns and religion has been passed down over and over and over. And no one really has dug deep on them. Has anyone ever heard these sayings, just do it because I said so? And now we get like embedded, and we pass that over on our children. Just do it because I said so. It's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do.
Because I said so. Why? Because I said so. Yeah. That's all you got to know.
Don't you know?
I said so.
Don't you know that I was told that? You know, and I couldn't talk back. I couldn't look into it. I couldn't do my research. It was because I said so. And you know, this is what's happening, and God is saying, listen, I am about done with the traditions and the patterns of the way of being brought up. A lot of people are deprived based on their feelings. They feel as though that they want to do something and they can't because they were told they can't do it. Or, you know, they don't want to do it and they were told that they had to do it. And they really don't want to do it because they just don't want to do it, but they were told they had to do it. And this goes back a long ways. How many of you all been here, heard me say, there are no rights, wrongs, goods, or bads? How many have ever heard that from me at this place? And it's so true, because of the fact that, you know, 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus, and he said, I'm tired of blood sacrifices. So you're going to go and tell everybody that there are no longer blood sacrifices for the remission of sin. Well, here we are in 2017, this ministry has been going on for almost 18 years, and I feel at the very beginning of the ministry, God was saying through us that he doesn't desire traditions and patterns of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. God has placed something inside of you, and it's called a life. And each one of us have a life. We all have a life. And just because we were brought up in a certain geographical location, or a certain lifestyle, or patterns of lifestyles, whatever it might be, we were instructed a certain way. Well, how many of us ever felt that they were told that they had to do it and they really didn't want to do it? How many have ever felt that way? Where you just, you know, and you couldn't reason. There was no reasoning. It was because I told you to, and this is the right thing to do, and you have to do it. And you just didn't feel like doing it, and you were forced to do it. That is literally a pattern or a tradition going against your law that's written on your heart. God has placed life in you. And here's an example. Some people feel like doing things. some people don't feel like doing things. You have two individuals, maybe grew up both in the same household. One wants to do something, and the other one doesn't want to do anything. Is that wrong or right? Huh? We got wrong. Actually, it doesn't matter. It's right, actually. It's all good. We have to look at the spirit of an individual. And the spirit of the individual has a pattern of God's commands inside of them. And that's what makes each and every one unique. Could you imagine if everybody had to do the same thing? How boring it would be. I'm going to ask you to scoot over one. Yeah, good, because I want to see these people over here. I want to see these beautiful faces over there. And if she's too close to you, she'd tell her to move down. But with that being said, I want us to begin to realize God has a life for us. And I want to elaborate this life. How many of us were told that we couldn't marry a certain individual because they weren't that ethnic group? We have people all around the world listening. And so we have to kind of be very sensitive to the spirit. And there could be some people that are listening from other countries, and and they might be saying, well, I fell in love with this individual, but I wasn't able to marry them or be around them because they came from a different ethnic group. Has anyone ever been harassed here based on that situation? You see? You weren't raised a certain way. You weren't brought up as a Catholic, or you weren't brought up as a Protestant, or you weren't brought up as a, whatever it might have been. And we were ruled and controlled by traditions and patterns of
our fathers and mothers and who we were taught from.
Yeah, our fathers and mothers, right. And these could be referred to as generational curses.
Correct.
Because you are put in bondage and you're not free. Here at GTTN Ministries, we believe that God has created everyone unique, and there is a passion and a desire in everyone, and it would be wrong for us to start putting a pattern on you as this is what you have to do, or this is what you can't do.
It's what you should do.
Or this is what you should do. It would be wrong for us to begin to start redesigning your life. We here encourage you how to find that life. We here encourage you how to have a relationship with your Creator, our Creator, our God, so that we can lead to eternal life, not only a life here on this earth, but lead to an eternal life, and eternity is real. But let's not focus on afterlife. Let's focus on this life right here. How many of us are restricted based on traditions? Think about it. Some of us are old enough where we created our own life now, and we don't have anyone that we are governed under. But what about those that are governed under individuals? You can't do this while you're living under my roof. You can't do this while you're married to me. That's not, what you should want to do. I'll do an example in my household. If my children have something on their heart that they want to do, I'm just 100% encouraging. I just want to encourage them. If I see something that is becoming an influence and it's affecting the best interest of well-being, then I'm going to step up and say something. I'm going to say, you're becoming excessive and it's a little too much. And then I'll bring it to their attention. As far as my wife is concerned, it's like, whatever you want to do. I don't put any restrictions on you, do I? And at the same time, I don't expect her to put any restrictions on me. Sometimes we tend to put restrictions on one another.
Out of fear, worry, out of anxiety.
Out of fear, worry, anxiety. You know, we're building a ministry here. And we have certain obligations that we uphold. And these obligations are only based on our convictions. And if our convictions tell us that we need to focus our attention somewhere else, we're all for it. It's like, you know, no problem. Do what you got to do. We're here, you know. Hope that you find a way to continue to learn, because really it's like a learning center. I would say that this place here is a learning center. You can only get to God through this ministry. That's the way I look at it. You can only know the truth through this ministry. You may be able to find it in other places, but I know this place. And this place in itself really wants to encourage you to know that you have the ability to be free. To feel as though that you have to answer to anyone is wrong. You don't have to answer to me. You don't have to answer to Pastor Sam, Tim, or Pastor Kurt. You don't have to answer to anyone. At the same time, if you're looking for counsel, we're here for that. If you choose that you want to go, and we said this before in a message about sin, and if you haven't gotten that message, please log on and try to find that message about sin. Because we believe here that all things are good. Not all things are edifying, but all things are good. So, for example, if you want to go drink and have a beer. I mean, that's the obvious one. Go drink and have a beer. You know, it doesn't matter. You want to go smoke? Go smoke.
Yep.
You want to do other things? Go do them. It's when it gets obsessive is when we begin to start saying, you know, you got to be careful about having lustful desires. Because lustful desires, and everyone understands what lustful desires are. Lust is nothing more than a passionate desire. Lust is like a passionate desire. Most people refer lust as sex.
Yeah.
Dirty, like sex, stuff like that, and it's
Real quick, there's nothing wrong with desires.
No, it's
good
to have
desires. Nothing wrong with desires at all. You can have desires.
I have a lot of them.
Correct. But when those desires start overtaking you, and all you think about is those desires, or one desire out of that, and
it starts,
and it starts pulling you, and all you're thinking about is getting this one thing, and all you can think about all day, and it overtakes your mind, overtakes your thinking, and it's all you think about on a daily basis is
controls your peace, or
gives you fear or worry or anxiety, but it's constant. It doesn't stop. It starts overtaking you to the point where you're like, I gotta have it. I gotta have that. And when you don't get that, when you keep pursuing that thing, you keep trying to get it, and you don't get it, that brings you to hopelessness because you give up. And that is sin.
It brings you into, it begins to birth sin.
Correct.
And then when it's entertained, then it actually becomes sin.
And yeah, because when you don't get that desire, you give up and you say, well, if I can't have it,
frustrating.
I'm quitting and I'm going home. I'm done.
Or you take more extreme avenues where you steal it.
Oh, yeah.
Or you create a manipulation or whatever it is. You get deeper and deeper into your craving.
Yep.
And your craving is like, I gotta have it. But with that being said, here in GTTN ministry, we don't even tell you not to do it.
Nope.
We say, be careful. We say, be aware of what's going on. You see, because we don't know if God is setting you up for a trial, a testing, We don't know if God is trying to show you or teach you something.
Correct.
In the midst of it.
Because we might see your true heart's desire. We might see the true avenue that where God wants you to go, and you might know it, but you might not be on that road at this moment. So we can't drag you off the road you're on and throw you on the right road. We have to subtly bring you in by breaking down the thoughts that brought you to the wrong avenue. Once you break down those thoughts of the wrong avenue, then we can start adopting the truth that brings you to the right avenue.
They have to learn from it to see that it is wrong.
Correct.
See, first of all, when lustful desires begin to start to come into your life, okay, sin is knocking at the door.
Yes.
When sin is knocking at your door, do you really think you got ears to hear somebody tell you it's not good?
Nope.
We know that. We already know that your ears are closed. What's going to cause someone to hate you the most?
When you go against what they think is right.
Exactly right. When you try to tell somebody that this is wrong and they want to do it.
They hate you. Take the girlfriend or the boyfriend with the bad girlfriend or the bad girlfriend that's bad for them, that it keeps hurting them and hurting them and hurting them, and they keep staying with that person. You can't tell them to get away from that person. They'll defend that person, whether they beat them up, whether they're vulgar to them, whether they attack them. They're going to defend that person until the day they die. They're not going to let that person go, and that's a sign right there.
We know that these things take place. We understand the spiritual world. At GTTN, the leadership here, and this is our teachings too, and we encourage to teach others this truth so that they can be able to be encouragers and encourage people in the things that they want to do. Now, when someone asks for counseling, then you got to give them the counsel. That's a whole different story. You know, when someone comes to us and says, listen, we want some counseling from you, you got to tell us, you're going to hear a lot of, you can't do this and you can't do that because this is what they're asking for. But when they're not asking for counseling,
can't help them.
All we can do is encourage you. We realize that you have a life and that life has to be found. And through that life of being found, there's also teachings. God teaches us through life. This is how God teaches us. I mean, I'm where I'm at because he taught me. I learned from the things that I suffered.
The difference between us and other ministries is this. We teach through life experiences. You don't come to us and say, I have an addiction, and we say, well, Jesus fed the 5,000, so get over it. We don't come to us and say, well, I have a problem with this, and we tell you a scripture in the Bible that doesn't apply to you. We use real life circumstances that you're going through, and we apply truth in those circumstances. And that truth does come from scripture, but we apply it to you. We make it accessible to you, right where your circumstance, what you're going through right now. We don't try to paint over the picture with a biblical story from 3,000 years ago, you know?
So with all that being said, you know, we want our listeners and those that are out there to begin to understand that God has a life for you. And it's very important for you to have that life. It is the worst thing that anybody can do to you by quenching the spirit that's within you, by grieving that spirit that's inside of you. By saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and all that. They're robbing your life. And these things happen through patterns throughout generations, and we grow up with these patterns, and we think that that's the way life is. When that's a lie, that's not the way life is. And God wants to begin to show us Him. And how are we going to see God if we're restricted through our desires? And how are we going to step into faith and do the impossible if we're saying you can't do that? Or you better save up before you do it. Or you better count the cost before you do it. Or, you know, you can't go on a honeymoon until you have all the money in the bank. You have to buy a house first before you can enjoy your honeymoon or what have you. I mean, I saw a young girl And I asked her, I said, how come you didn't get married yet? You're with your boy. Well, we got to save up money before we can get married. Wait a minute. Why? You love each other, right? Love each other and then build the life together. That's what it's all about, marriage, isn't it? How many people are married here? Oh, good, good. And did you enjoy your life building that marriage together? I mean, I think it's fun. I mean, I know my wife and I, we had nothing, and we built our marriage together through, you know, trials and errors and stuff. I mean, that's what strengthens relationships. Well, this is what strengthens your relationship with God. God and you is like a marriage.
There you go.
And you need to have this life that's inside of you with God so that you can walk through life with God and be going through good things and bad things. Could you imagine you going through your marriage with your father or your mother constantly telling you what to do and what you can't do on a daily basis? That's no different than traditions and patterns of the world or of generations or religion. It's the same thing. God is saying in this hour, and I truly believe, and I'm listening it for my own self, that he's saying, I want you to live with me. And I don't want you to be influenced by other traditions or opinions that are hanging over your life. And you're putting guilt and shame on yourself because you can't uphold that law. You can't uphold all the time the patterns and the traditions of the world. You're going to let down your father. You're going to let down your mother. You're going to let down these people who put this pressure on you all the time. Well, now you're living in guilt and shame. You're living in guilt, shame, and condemnation. And God is saying, I don't want my generation that is coming up to live in guilt, shame, and condemnation. I want them to have a new mind, a new spirit. I want them to live with me. I have written my law on their hearts, and I want them to embrace it. I don't want generational curses be conformed and patterns being conformed on my people that are coming into this world. And I hope that we have parents out there or guardians that are listening. And, you know, I know you mean well for your little ones growing up. I know you mean well for your friends' kids and whoever else you're governing over or you think you're governing over. There are ways of instructing. There's ways. But then you can be overwhelming, overpowering, overbearing. You could be putting yourself too much about your opinions and things of that nature. And this has to stop. And it has to stop in religion too. When people in today's mindset, they think going to church, they have to change. They have to conform. They even think that they have to dress a certain way. These things need to stop. The church should be a body of people who embrace the least. Not give favor to anything or anyone, but to embrace the least. And encourage whatever, because when you develop a relationship with God and God walks with you through life, you learn so much. Not only do you learn so much, but he cleanses you through experiences. You see his glory, and then inside, you already know what you need to lay down. And you lay it down. Because there's something inside that you want to please your instructor or your teacher or your higher power. And God becomes that teacher, your parent, your spouse, your higher power. And you want to automatically, that's our genetics. Our genetics is to lay down our life and please that other that shows us this love. For example, I see two couples back there. I see a couple back there. That one couple right there, each of them lay their lives down for one another. They know that this one doesn't like this, so they stop doing it because they know it pleases the other. And this one knows that this one likes a certain dish, and maybe they don't really like it too much, but they'll prepare it because they know that they like it. That's love. That's relationship. That's a relationship that is proven that the other showed love. And this is how God operates. God develops this relationship with us automatically. You don't have to ask for it because he's always there. Even if you didn't know God, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So God is always with us, even when we don't even know him. I know that for a fact because when I was growing up, man, I see some things in my life that God had to have been there, because no way could those things actually would have happened or worked for me. I probably would have been dead a long time ago, but he somehow stepped in and saved me in a lot of different areas of my own life.
It's like you said earlier when you said that God has written a law on your heart. He has handwritten a law on your heart. And when you're not following the law in your heart, you're under laws. You're under the laws of this world. You're not following that desire of your heart.
And let me interact with you, because under those laws, you cannot uphold them.
No, nope.
You're always going to let somebody down.
This
is a key principle, because this ministry is trying to set you free from letting anyone down.
Yep.
Because you're going to let whoever puts these things on you, you're going to let them down.
That's right.
You're not going to follow the letter of the law. You're going to let them down.
You're under a power, whether you think you are or not, of either God or of people of the world. You're under a power.
Yep.
And especially if you're not following the desire of your heart. See, like Pastor said, God wrote a law in your heart. And it's like he puts his hand out and he says, this is the path right here. I got the path right here. And his hand's reaching out to you saying, just come on. And you try to go to the left, and he allows you to go to the left, but he still puts roadblocks up.
Not even that you try. You're instructed to go to the left.
Because of the desires of your heart.
Because someone's telling you.
Yep.
There's a law, good, bad, right, wrong.
You desire to please that person instead of pleasing God. So your desire to please them is more powerful than your desire to please God, because you don't even know God yet. So all you've known your whole life is that person who's putting his laws on you and his desires on you, and you want to please the people or you want to please yourself. You feel like you're not worthy. You feel like you never accomplished anything. You want to show people, oh, I'll show you who I am. You'll see. I'll become rich, something like that. You know,
there's examples in Scripture how God works things out on our hearts and shows you it's not good, it's not bad, it's not right, it's not wrong. And I'm going to show you in a minute, because I believe this new wine for the new wineskins need to be put on for this new wine, to have this relationship with God. This is the only way for this time that we're living in to have a relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God with laws and patterns of traditions. And it even says in Scripture too, it says put away traditions and patterns. And so, you know, it hurts me, because there are people there that are sincere to have a relationship with the law, and to have a relationship with God. But the law is separating them from God.
Correct.
And what is happening here is they can't follow the conviction on their heart. They can't even enter into a realm of faith. Even though they say they have faith, they really don't have faith, because faith is those impossible things that you can't do.
Correct.
Thank you, honey. And that's how you get to see God, because you can't do it then you know he did it. But in Scripture, you had God, when he was setting the Israelites free, you had God work with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh hardened his heart.
Back and forth.
Back and forth. Many different times. There was a right and a wrong, a good and a bad. But God was moving forward in Pharaoh's heart. So when Pharaoh set the Israelites free, that was God. And then when Pharaoh went after the Israelites to get them back into slavery, that was God. Now, wouldn't you think that that was wrong of Pharaoh? He let them free, and now all of a sudden he wants to go after them and get them back. But it was God the whole time. And God was showing that relationship with Pharaoh, saying, I'm God. Look at you. I harden your heart, I soften your heart. I harden your heart, I soften your heart. Now, look at Jesus' life. Here, he's a prime example for the Christian world to follow. Jesus did a lot of things that you would think weren't right. He flipped tables over in the synagogue. He called sophisticated Christian leaders or Jewish leaders at the time, Pharisees and Sadducees, brood of vipers. He basically cursed at them. I mean, in that generation back then, he basically cursed at you, rat. You stinking rat, you. He caused so much ruckus to the point where they actually crucified him. They killed him. So you can imagine what he was doing in the eyes of the people. If anybody was under the laws, they would have said, my God, he was a real outcast, rowdy, rebellious kind of guy. You know, he was bad. Some were saying he was good. But Jesus said, I'm following the Father. I only say what the Father tells me to say, and I only do what the Father tells me to do. He was following life.
Correct.
He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. And what he meant by that was the teachings, my examples.
The way that I lay my will down to listen to his will.
The way I'm showing you that I'm not subject to the traditions or the patterns of this world. Though that I live in the world, I'm not of the world. And the world was the pride of life,
yep,
the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh.
Yep.
He developed a relationship with God, and that's where I believe God is saying, I want that relationship. I want that relationship with my people. And we need to nip certain things in the bud and certain things that have to be cut off are the do's and don'ts and the rights and wrongs. Got to stop telling individuals how to basically what they can do and what they can't do, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. Most people feel as though that's what the church is for.
That's right.
And that's not what the church is for. The church is for you to find a life.
Yep, it's already written on your heart. It's already there.
To be able to find it and lead you in it, guide you in it. So what's your heart saying? So if your heart is saying it, then let's go for it. And then help you fight the lies. But I can't. Why? Why? Why can't you? Because I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I'm not qualified. Listen, why don't you try making a step forward and see what happens? I don't believe that we would be in a position we're in today if we didn't have the truth. We hear tremendous amount of testimonies. I see one woman in the back there. She has a wonderful testimony. I see many nice women back here with beautiful testimonies, but I'm going to bring up one, the one in the purple. How many of When you began to follow your heart, how many people told you, you can't do that? Thank God you didn't listen, because look at where you're at today. I believe people mean well, but God means more well. God is saying one thing to us. People have good feelings. I believe they have good intentions and good thoughts and a lot of good things. But is it bearing witness of what God's good thing is saying? God's good thing is saying this. If it's bearing witness of what God is saying, then great. And you know, you got encouragement, go for it. But 99.9%, the world doesn't know what God's life is for you.
Exactly.
You see, Jesus ran into this with Peter. Jesus says, I got to go to Jerusalem, or was it Judea? I forget.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. And Peter's like, dude, no way. If you're going to go there, you're going to get smitten. You're going to get killed.
Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem and be killed. And Peter goes, no, you ain't going to get killed. No, go to Jericho. Don't go to Jerusalem. You know? So he was telling them, don't go. And then
he meant well, though.
Exactly right.
He was protecting them. He loved them. He was basically saying, dude, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And Jesus said to him, you don't have the mind of God. You don't have the thoughts that are written on my heart. I have to go in this direction. We need to cut off the patterns and the traditions. We have to get out of the church that is trying to conform you into something that you're not.
Correct.
If they say it's a sin to gamble, it's a sin to drink, it's a sin to smoke, it's a sin to marriage it's a sin to have this, you know, before marriage, and that you can't live with somebody before marriage. It's a sin to do this. It's a sin to do that. Everything is a sin to the church. But in the eyes of God, it's not a sin until the passionate desires are enticed and it begins to birth sin. It begins to conceive it. And then it controls you and it consumes you, and then it becomes sin. We got to set the people free.
Well, it's like you said earlier when you said you see the path for your life. You see it, but you won't take a step because everybody's telling you not to. You have to take that first step. If you've ever seen someone that starts following their heart, something happens to them. The fruit of the Spirit actually comes in. Peace, joy, happiness. Just by taking the first step. But they're so afraid to take that first step. They're just, everybody's telling, like you said, everybody's telling them not to take that step. But we here are going to encourage you to take that step. We're going to do everything we can to help you take that first step. We're going to agree with you and help you in every way to take it. And once you take that step, it's over. That's the beginning. And that's when you take God's hand and walk with Him, like Pastor said earlier.
So we need to be able to instruct. Really, I believe that there's a lot of people out there that really want to get their life together. They want to do the right thing. They're probably starting a family. Maybe they reach a certain age where they say, you know what, I want God in my life. I think I'm going to go to church. You know, Jesus said something that was pretty profound. He says, you go there, you come off worse off than when you went in. You come out worse off than when you went in. I forget the scripture verses, but he was basically saying that those individuals there are going to transform you in a bigger mess. And I feel that that's what's happening right now. And I believe people are catching on to it. They're saying, they're hypocrites. They're, you know, they only want your money. They want this. They're trying to control you through fear. They're making you feel guilty and ashamed so that they can basically rule over you and dictate to you. And feel superior. And that's actually what was happening back 2,000 years ago, too.
Yep.
In Jesus' time. You know, they were just out for one thing. They were making people constantly feel like they're sinners. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're no good. You're no good. You're no good. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. And people don't want to go to a place to try to find a life just to hear that they're a sinner all the time.
Yeah, they try to fear you into feeling guilt and shame.
Yeah. You know, you're a bad person because maybe you're not operating in some success, or you're not wearing designer clothes, or, you know, you're not driving a nice car, or, you know. They're judging based on, you know, material things. And, you know, that's why I say embrace the least. The church should embrace the least and you know, not judge based on character or anything like that. And I mean, to me, it's a shame. And I believe God is saying, come as you are. Come as you are. And I feel that there's a lot of individuals out there that have a bad interpretation of what really the church is about. And they want a relationship with God, but they just don't want to go to a church, or they just don't want to go to a ministry or what have you. Or they feel that maybe the church or the ministry is for all hopeless people who,
yes,
you know, are
desperate or on their last, like they need help right now. They're dying. They're you know, they're desperate for this or that or another thing. If I'm good, I got my money, I got my job, I'm fine, my house is fine. Those people think they're okay, but they think everybody comes to church are looking for a handout.
And unfortunately here, that's not the truth. We're
no.
We're trying to build the proper ministry, the proper church, where you come to develop a relationship and to know our Creator, to be able to find the life that is within inside of you.
Correct.
God gave you a life. You were born with something, and you didn't lose it.
Nope.
It's still there. And if you're hearing my voice today, right now, it's probably the beginning of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you might have thought that you were a certain age and your life is over. But this could be the beginning. Maybe God was just prepping you for what you really are going to have, what you're really going to be. And that's how I feel. When I meet someone, I feel that this is the beginning of their life, like a brand new baby born. And I say, my God, you're going to enter into something that you've never thought, hoped, or dreamed of, because I know that my God says he'll do far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. Most people tend to come to a church or whatever, hopeless,
yep,
dead. And I'm like, You're not hopeless. You're not dead. You just are coming as a brand new baby.
That's right.
You're just now new. Your life is now going to start. You're at the beginning of a new life right now. I mean, you might as well just start banking on all your hopes and dreams now, because this is the beginning. People have to understand, when they come to the true pasture of God's ministry, they're coming into their life. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, when they met him, they entered in their life.
Yep.
Whether they were 10 years old or 30 years old or 60 years old, they entered into their life.
Correct.
It was like becoming born again. They were brand new babies. Brand new babies. And they had to start drinking the milk, just like all babies would do. All the teachings and the guidance and the instructions were all like milk, and the babies would drink the milk and have that growing period, and then they could start eating meat and really live.
Yep.
I mean, I'm excited about it, and I hope those that are out there listening are excited as I am, because most are just like coming in hopeless, trying to get like their last breath. Well, let me see if I can live a little longer, you know, and try to start something new. But they don't really have the the understanding or the hope that they are actually really going to start something new.
Well, those who are out there who haven't given up on their hopes, get in here. Those who have, get in here. You know, we were called a long time ago. We dig up old wells.
Yeah.
And you know, you have a well inside of you that has a water that you'll drink and you'll never thirst again. That's what we're offering you. We're offering you a drink that you can drink and you'll never thirst again. And when you come into that, when you start entering into that, that's the end right there.
So it sounds like that song I back in the olden days. Spring up, oh well.
Oh yeah.
That's in my soul. Spring up, oh well. And make me whole. Spring up, oh well. I can sing that all night.
Because a lot of people out there have given up and they don't know where to turn. This is the place to turn. We will dig up that old well and that water will flow out of your blood like rivers of living water. And that's what we do here.
If you want a life, this is where it is.
Find us.
This is life. This is a life living ministry, not a ministry that is looking to create a cookie cutter individual.
No.
God has instructed us that you're a unique individual, and we want to embrace that uniqueness that is within you, not to change, not to make me happy or Sam happy or anybody happy. We want you to be happy and to be able to follow your heart and not put any restrictions or come across any kind of judgment. I mean, there's a point of, you know, where embracing all forms of life. Some people want to condemn right off the bat. Oh, you have issues. Boom, 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 boom. Look.
Come as you are.
Yeah.
Come exactly the way you are today, right this very moment. That doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like, what you smell like, the amount of money you have, what clothes you have on. Come as you are, exactly the way you're sitting right now at this moment. You are welcome. We are inviting you. We're going to embrace you. Come in.
And the only reason is for you to have life.
That's right.
And it's because we were commissioned.
It's our job.
See, we were commissioned to be one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We were like commissioned to say, you know, God says, go feed my sheep. You know, go out there into the highways and the byways and grab my people and give them their life.
Yep.
We were commissioned. And we're only doing our job to please the Father. And if you hear our voices and you're here today, embrace what we're about. You need to understand what we're about. Transparent, never condemning, never judgment. We trust and believe that you are a seeker of our God, a seeker of our Creator, trying to find your life. Well, with that being said, if you're really looking for your life with all your heart, soul, and mind, all we could do is encourage you.
That's right.
All we could do is embrace it and encourage you and try to be there in any way we can to help. And, you know, you can take it as it is, and we still encourage you to do what you want to do because it's your life. And, you know, some people come to me and would say, aren't you upset over the fact that so-and-so is this and so? And I say, no, why should I? It's their life and they need to live under their own convictions. So let them live their life. And whether God wants to put them in the pit with pigs or if he wants to bless them, you know, and abundantly, or even bless them with the pigs and find out that the blessings weren't really of God.
Well, you know what Pastor said earlier, that our whole job is to please the Father. You know, you might be asking yourself, what's our reward? What do we want to get out of this? Well, what we get out of this is our Father is pleased with us.
Yeah, when you hear that, well done, my faithful servant, when you hear that audible voice in your heart, I mean, and it just breaks you down to your knees and you start crying.
And he provides every one of our needs.
Yeah, even when he doesn't, though.
But he does.
Hearing that voice.
Yep.
Well done, my faithful servant. You know, I've heard that voice not many times, but when I did, my whole body shook. I just dropped to my knees, and all I could do is say thank you. It's no different than when you please your earthly father, or when you please your earthly mother, or whenever you please anybody that you want them to look at you in a certain way. How many of us here alone have individuals in our lives that we would like to just please them?
Have their acceptance.
How many of us here seem to do, no matter what we did, we couldn't please them?
Hello.
Well, our Heavenly Father is wonderful because no matter what, it seems like he's always pleased. Every time when we're doing things for him. I mean, we do things for others, and it seems like they don't even recognize anything. You know, it's like, hello, I did these things for you, and you didn't even, like, say thank you or show any type of gratitude. Those things are going to happen. Know this, that through my eyes, there is not one thing that isn't not seen.
Correct.
And so I'm going to report right off the bat. If anybody ever felt that way towards us or towards me, I want you to know that I see everything. And I'm very grateful for everything that is done. With that being said, I don't always pat anybody on the back. I don't always say, hey, great job, or thank you very much, or, you know, I really appreciate that, or whatever it is. But know that everything is appreciative. And you need to know that so that offenses don't come, because, you know, a lot of times people get busy, a lot of things are going on, and you don't always have that opportunity to say thank you.
I got to kind of correct you on that one, because you certainly do say thank you to people and you show appreciation to everybody, and you're the first one to encourage people. So I think you have a little miss on that one for yourself, because you always thank. You always show appreciation. You thank all day.
Oh, well, thank you.
Am I right, Sarah, or not? Am I right? He thanks everybody. He's appreciative. He definitely is.
He's killing me, because I'm going to start crying right now, because I don't feel so. I feel like I need to do more.
You say thank you throughout the day, over right in front of me, to me, around me.
Oh,
you're very appreciative.
He's killing me.
Maybe you didn't used to be, and that's what you're seeing back in the past, but you are certainly that way, 100%. And you when you thank people, it's great. It's incredible. You do.
Amen. Well, we ran out of time, and we got the red light. So I want to let our listeners, if they're still hearing, because sometimes we get the red light, we got like another minute.
But it's been on for like five.
But I want to tell our listeners, listen, we embrace and we understand. We understand your hurts. We understand what you're seeking for.
Yep.
We understand what's out there. And we want to really embrace you to support us as we continue to move forward. Those that can hear us are local enough to come out. We encourage you to come out so that we can help you find that life, help you lead you, help you guide you, you know, whatever we can do, and give you the tools and the mysteries and the ancient secrets of life and the spiritual end of it too. And to develop that relationship with God so that you know what pleases him and what doesn't please him. And so that you can always have that audible voice in your heart. Well done, my faithful servant.
Amen.
And with that being said, we bless you and have a good night.
Yay! Amen.
Amen.